You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
Have any of you been in the situation where a friend has seen or heard something that's going on, and they tell you about that event? And as you listen to what they're saying, you suddenly realize that you were there when that happened. And if you're rather toady like me, you let them tell you all that they can about it. And then you tell them afterwards, well, yeah, it was a bit like that, but not like this, because we were there. We saw it happen. It happened to us once. We were in Malawi, and a friend of ours from Malawi went to Uganda. And he went to a place, and he was told about an event that had happened in that place. And we had been in the middle of that event. But it was rather significant. It had become part of local folklore. So when he went there, he was told this story about what had happened. And we were able to say to him, well, yeah, a little bit. It was about an elephant and so on, but we won't go into the details. The question is, we knew because we'd been there. We'd seen what had happened. A reputation got around, but was it quite right? Now, Paul was like that. In the passage we were reading, Paul had set up the church, or he'd been responsible for getting the church established in Thessalonica. They'd only been there a short time. If we read through the story in Acts chapter 17, we find that Paul probably was only in Thessalonica for 3 weeks, or maybe a little bit more than that. It wasn't a very long time. But as he travelled around Macedonia and Achaia, all the places around that he was going round, suddenly he heard people saying to him, hey, have you heard about Thessalonica? Have you heard about the what's going on there? I don't know if it's going to work or not. Have a go, see if the PowerPoint works. But have you heard about the church at Thessalonica? Wow, they said. That's the way the church should be. Sorry if it doesn't come as big as we said, but it's coming. That's the way church should be. And then we ask the question, have you heard about the church at Limbrookwood? What's the reputation of the church at Limbrookwood? Is it as it should be? Or are there things which we need to develop and we need to grow? Don't worry about the overhead. But it's not breaking up into the individual units. No, okay, so that's fine. Just leave it off for now, thank you. Yeah. So Paul had been there in Thessalonica, and so he knew what had happened, and he was thrilled. He was thrilled that at the church there, things were so great. Just switch that off, because it'll disturb. And so he reflects, as he reflects on what had happened in Thessalonica, he remembers three things. He remembers three things about the church in Thessalonica. And we find them there in verse 3. He said, we remember before our God and Father your work, your labor, and your endurance. Your work, your labor, and your endurance. Of course, work is the things we do. Labor is what we put into it. And endurance is the way we persist and we go on. And so Paul was saying, you see their work? They're doing great things. And they're really putting their heart into it. And in spite of great hardship, they're keeping going. Well, what can we say about Limbrookwood? We read the notices. There's lots of things going on in the church. Lots of activities that are happening here. So the work's great. Now, I know, having been connected with the church recently, very recently, that the labour, the work that's put into what goes on, is 100%. It's great. There are people who are working hard to see things going ahead here. So that's the work. That's the labour. Endurance. You've had some difficulties to put up with. You had a moderator to put up with last year, which is a bit of a problem. But you had all sorts of things going. We've had difficulties, and still, you're stuck with it. So that's the work, that's the labour, that's the endurance. The church is still going now after 60 years. So that's great, isn't it? So can we just pat ourselves on the back and say, well done? Not just yet. Not just yet. We need to look a little bit more at what it was that Paul was saying. Because when he spoke about the work, the things he was doing, he said, the work, your work, produced by faith. Your work produced by faith. Not just all the things you do. He says, that part of your work which is produced by faith. Now, when I was been thinking about this a fair bit recently, this thing has challenged me and has bugged me time and time again. Because why do I do the things that I do in connection with the church? With connection with anything. Why? Paul is saying, the things that I'm commending you for are the things that are produced by faith. All right, what does that mean? What does faith mean? Well, there's a lovely acronym of faith which says F-A-I-T-H. You can spell faith, can we? Together, spell it the same way. Okay. Forsaking all, I trust him. Okay? Forsaking all, I trust him. So how many of the things which I do for God, how many of the things that I do are actually stimulated by my faith? And how many of them are stimulated by habit? Well, I always do that. How many of them are stimulated by other people's need? People need help. So I must give them. But Paul's comment was not your work stimulated by need, not your work stimulated by habit, but your work produced by faith. Do I do things because I really believe God is in them? Do I do things because I'm trusting God? It's very easy, and I've been in church meetings here and in elsewhere, where the budget actually controls what we do. Our work is stimulated by what we can afford to do, not by what we believe God wants us to do. And then our work can be stimulated by the skills of the community, what we can do, what abilities we've got. And we've got this ability, so let's use this ability. Is that actually trusting God? You see, the Christian world is full of stories of people who did not have the financial resources, of people who did not apparently have the skills which were needed, of people who did not just wait for convenient circumstances to do things, but because God told them, they did it, because they were trusting God. And I continually find this a challenge at the moment, How many things do I do simply because I'm trusting God to sort the problem out for me? And how many things do I do because of my financial restrictions or because of my apparent abilities or because of these things? Paul said to the church, speaking of the church at Thessalonica, he spoke about the things they did because God was stimulating them. And I think that's an interesting point that we can take in mind. If we look later on in that chapter, we find what it was that people were talking about, the Thessalonians. It was their faith. That's what Paul says in a number of places. You became imitators of us. The Lord's message rang out from you. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Oh, if only that were true of us here, eh? If the reputation of Limbrick Wood Baptist Church was that everybody knew that they were really trusting God in everything that went on, and they were doing things because God pushed them into it. Challenge, eh? It's a challenge for me, and I think it comes as a challenge to the church as well. And what was it they had done? If you go on to verse 9, the thing which they had done is they had turned to God from idols. You had turned to God from idols. Those things which were the most important things in their lives, those idols. What are the most important things in our lives? Our families, our reputations, our hobbies, our pastimes. What are the most important things in our lives? They're the idols. And those were tossed aside so that they can put their faith in God. And that's what the Christians in Thessalonica were remembered for. They turned to God from idols. Do people see that when they look at us here at Limbrick Wood? But then it was a work produced by faith, labour. There's the interesting thing. Do you know there are people here so committed to the church? It's tremendous. But there is a question mark here. Your labour prompted by love. Putting all that effort into it, putting all that work into it because of love. You know, I have to hold my hand up. There are many times when I've been doing a lot of work because I've got to. Not because I'm loving the people at the other end. It can be so easy to be. Look at the athletes over at in Rio. How committed are they? They have given everything they've got just to get there. Did you see the interview with Adam Peaty yesterday after he'd broken the world record in the swimming? He says, now I'm an Olympian. That's what he's been aiming at. And the amount of effort and time they've put into getting there is immense. I think very few of us could actually compare with that in what we put into our service of Jesus. But you know, at one minute, as Christians, we're not prompted by medals. We're not prompted even by people's need. We're prompted by love. Now, what is that love? We're prompted by love. And what did they do? How did they show that love? We look again at the end in verse 9, verse 10. We see they turned to God from idols. That was their work. To serve the living and true God. That was where they showed their love. And within the church, we have to be ever so careful that the love which stimulates us and the love which sends us out to serve God is to serve others is love for God first. Those who work with the children love the children. But you know, when those children get uppity and they don't obey and they're doing their own thing, there's often not very much love in your heart to them, is there? But you know, our love for the children can only come because of our love for God first. And as we think about our work, which is prompted, which is produced by faith, we've got to think, ask too about our labour, that effort we put into things. Is it because of our love for God? If it's because we have a love for God, then the love for others is going to come through. But if it's just because we love others, the love for God won't come. We've got to get things in the right order. As we serve God, as we put everything into serving here in, Him here in the church, and my, some do, and there are others who can do more. I can say that because I just know that's generally the truth. But you know, we must make sure that that love is for God. After all, what's He done for us? What's Jesus done for us? He gave Himself for us. It's only saying thank you, isn't it? To love Him and to praise Him. But then it was your work produced by faith. Your labour prompted by love. And then your endurance inspired by hope. Endurance. Now, when we're thinking about that long cycle ride that I had yesterday up in the hills all around Rio de Janeiro, wow, that was endurance, wasn't it? Keeping going for that length of time in that heat, how they did it. It was 60-odd kilometres, wasn't it? In temperatures of around 30, 32 degrees? Nah, there's no way I could do that. It was just too, the endurance. But that's not the sort of endurance that Paul is speaking about here. Because you see, he's talking about his recollection of what he knew. And he only knew them for 3 weeks or so. So how could he speak about endurance? It's not endurance in a long way. It's endurance in spite of suffering. It's putting up with things. It's putting up with things which don't go right. You endured. How do we know that? Well, in the story that you read in Acts chapter 17, you will see there that when Paul came to Thessalonica, some people believed in Jesus. A few Jews and devout Greeks and other people came and they put their faith in Jesus. We read about it. They turned to God from idols. Many pagans, they must have been pagans if they're worshipping idols, they turned to God. And it was great, and things were happening in the town. But some of the local Jews who didn't accept it, they decided to stir up trouble. And they started talking about Paul and the trouble he was causing as far as they were concerned. And they went to the authorities, and they tried to find Paul. They went to the house where Paul was staying. He wasn't there. But they got the owner of the house, and they dragged him to the authorities. And they started saying, these people are causing us trouble. These people, and of course, and the local people, Jason was the name of the man he was staying with, and these people, they got into trouble because they had turned to God from idols. But did it stop them? No way. They endured. They kept on. Why do we keep on as Christians? Why, when everything seems to be going wrong, do we keep going as Christians? It's because we have a hope. We have a hope that is not just in this world. We have a hope that Jesus is coming again. We have a hope of life after death. We know this world is not all that there is. We know we can go through problems and difficulties which seem to be just too much for us. But because we know what's on the other side, because we know what is waiting for us in that eternity with Jesus, whatever that means, and I'm not going to try and describe it, but whatever it means, eternity with Jesus, wow, it's worth putting up with everything. That's the endurance. That's why we keep going. Why do those Olympians just keep going day after day, running on the track, doing all the things they do? Because there's glory for them in the Olympics. My friends, our glory isn't just going to be receiving one medal. Our glory is going to be eternity spent with God. With all evil, all things that are wrong, removed. Hallelujah. What a plane that is going to be, eh? Just imagine what it's going to be. There's nothing wrong. No evil, no selfishness, no greed, nothing of these things. And we're just going to enjoy. We have things to do. We're not just we're floating about on clouds. We've got things to do. God's got work for us to do. But in a situation where things work, in a situation of glory, that's why we keep going. And that's why the Thessalonians kept going. They endured suffering because there was a hope that lies ahead, a hope which is a certain hope, not an uncertain maybe hope, but a certain hope which we haven't seen yet, but boy, we know it's there. So that is what Paul remembered about the church at Thessalonica. That was the reputation that the Thessalonians had in the spreading church throughout the world. What is the reputation of Limbrick Wood in Coventry and in other parts where Baptist people get around? Our prayer is that more and more we will be remembered for our faith, trusting God in what lies ahead. In the things we do, in our work, working because we trust God and we know God is working. Putting in that work, putting in the labor, the commitment, because we love God and because He is the one who is calling the shots. And why do we put up with all those difficulties? Because we know end result is God's glory, and we have a privilege of being part of it. Wow. Hey, what is God saying to us here? What's He saying to Limbrick Wood? What's He saying to you as an individual? Because yes, the church gets a reputation, but you know, the church's reputation is only built up by the individuals within that church. So the reputation that Limbrick Wood is building up in Coventry and environment is what you are contributing to. So as you think about these things, are you trusting God enough to put aside all those things which would get in His way? Do you love God enough to put all that you've got into His service? And if you do, and if you have to endure, the hope which we have in Christ will see you through to the other end.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrick Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrick Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.